dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas, and Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as a, well, an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. A man who has been in many different incarnations, a key player in that war for the free world, is our guest for a full and very special hour. He is Dr. J. Philip London, better known to his friends and great admirers like myself as Jack London. He is currently the chairman of an extraordinarily important company here in the Washington, D.C. area and indeed in other parts of the world, CACI International, C-A-C-I International. He is a naval aviator in his past incarnations, among other contributions he's made to our country. He has now rendered an incredibly important one by distilling down the essence of many of his experiences and insights into leadership, both in the military, in government, and, of course, in the private sector, in a new book he entitles Character, the Ultimate Success Factor. I'm very proud to say Jack is, among other things, a member of the Board of Directors of the Center for Security Policy and chairman of its Board of Regents, and a good friend of mine. And I am thrilled to have a chance to talk with you at length about character. Jack, you exhibit it and inspire the rest of us to emulate your lead. And thank you for joining me to have a visit about your book and your life and your insights into what we need to do as a nation going forward.
Thank you, Frank. I'm delighted to be here, and thank you for the invitation. I'm excited about the idea of visiting with you on this topic of character. We certainly see indications of difficulties on the topic throughout our society, certainly over the last decade. In recent times, the last year or so, we've seen a number of incidences in our government and the military in terms of weakness in character and difficulties with breaking the law and leadership and a whole range of issues, not the least of which was last year, the whole sexual abuse and harassment issue that the Joint Chiefs were called for to testify on the Hill. So we've got an important issue right now in this country. I would make one comment that the United States Naval Academy's Alumni Association's magazine, Shipmate, the Shipmate magazine, the recent edition, has an article entitled A Crisis of Character. So it's forefront in the military services and certainly the Department of Defense. And frankly, my timing on this book, while I didn't plan it this way, turns out to be very fortuitous and quite on target with issues in our country.
Well, I think what it reflects, frankly, is the kind of vision that you've exhibited throughout your career, Jack, that you understood there was a need to address this particular problem. And I guess I'd like to sort of go back to the formative experiences in your life, in your family, at the Naval Academy and elsewhere, in which you really became acquainted with and came to appreciate the essential nature of character and what you really mean by the term as it should be applied in today's political and national security environment.
Sure. Goes back to, early days at home, the notion of integrity and character and the concept of taking care of yourself and being accountable and responsible for yourself was an early process in my upbringing. My father often recited the poem by William Henley, the Invictus, and the last lines of that poem are, "I am the master of my fate, I am the captain of my soul." And the fact is that being able to take care of yourself was an important part of our upbringing and certainly has been a part of what we've tried to do during my career and even here at CECI. The idea of building an ethos and culture of character has been a main objective of the corporation for a number of decades. So we've been working on this idea of integrity, ethics, being able to represent ourselves in the marketplace as a can-do outfit that can be trusted. It's been a big part of our management objectives. So it all fits, Frank, over this period of time.
Is it fair to say, Jack London, that what basically you've just described is an admirable ethos, a desirable sort of component of any company, or for that matter, any individual's conduct, but that it is a defining quality, perhaps the difference between life and death even, for somebody who is, involved in, for example, the dangerous business of naval aviation. And I'm mindful of what an impact that had on your life. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Clearly, yes. Well, it's an the flying aviation is in many ways a rather unforgiving kind of activity.
Extremely unforgiving, I think, is a more accurate way of describing it, right?
to emphasize it. And I must tell you that I went through the Naval Academy and the rigors in the program there and did pretty well. I stopped, wound up in the top quarter of my class, but it was down at Pensacola in the training command, Frank, that I really learned how to concentrate and focus on what I was doing. The unforgiving nature of aviation taught me a lot of values in terms of a commitment, a focus of getting it right, of doing it right, and being able to make a commitment. And those are behavior attributes that you pick up, at least I picked up during my experience in the aviation business. And as most of America knows from the movies and naval aviation advertisements by the United States Navy and so forth, that it's an exciting profession. There's a lot goes on around the carriers. It's an area, an activity where teamwork is so important and so needed. So you learn about teamwork, working together, giving it your best, knowing that you're being depended on by others to get your job done correctly. And as you pointed out, there's a certain can be definitely a life or death kind of implications from failing to do the right thing at the right time and be responsible. So all of it fits together nicely, and it's really woven a lot of these views into my belief system, if you will, and values and understanding of how the world works.
Yeah, just to put a fine point on it, again, our guest is Jack London, the author of Character, The Ultimate Success Factor. I've only been at sea underway, and I've carrier, I think on one occasion, it's been some years now, but I remember vividly being up in the environs of the flight deck as, the planes were being landed in the twilight hours and thinking, on a good day, this is a very dangerous bit of business, and you have a lot of time where it's not a good day. You're out there doing it under all kinds of adverse conditions, and again, we salute you for your incredible service to our country in that regard, Jack, and I think it does clearly imbue you with a sense of both the mission and the need to conduct yourself in a manner that is consistent with good order and discipline, as the military says, that you bring to every aspect of your personal and professional life. And Jack, we're going to have to pause here momentarily, but just very quickly, to the extent that you have benefited from this crucible of hard experience in the military, does it concern you that more of us in this country are not being subjected both to the disciplines and the life, values and leadership qualities that the military does historically impart?
I think there's a lot to be said along that line, Frank, and there's no question about it, in my opinion, that there has been a gradual erosion or decay, if you will, of accountability and the notion of character and a commitment among our society and culture and our people. And I'm not sure I know the reasons, but I do believe that you're right, that there has been a significant change. Certainly, I'll be 77 years old soon, and I've lived about one-third of the history of the United States, 238 years, and I have definitely can, from with some authority, say that that I have observed, at least from my viewpoint, my perspective, of significant change over a period of time.
Jack, we're going to have to pause for just a moment. We're going to come right back and talk at greater length about the changes that have been taking place and the implications for both of us as individuals and as citizens of this great country. With Jack London, the executive chairman at CACI International and author of Character, The Ultimate Success Factor, right after this.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
I had no choice the news that was given to me on August 2nd.
Gold Star mom, Debbie Lee.
But I did have a choice how I responded.
In August 2006, Mark Allen Lee became the first Navy SEAL to lose his life in Iraq.
I chose to put on Mark's boots, pick up his weapon, and stay in the fight for our troops and their families.
And America's Mighty Warriors was born.
Mark's name meant Mighty Warrior. And he definitely lived up to his name.
At AmericasMightyWarriors.org, you'll find Mark's last letter home.
Read it, and you'll know what AMW's about.
It's about service to active duty members of the military and their families,
including care packages, visits, and more.
It's about supporting the wounded and the people who love them.
It's about the Gold Star family.
Special retreats, concerts, Mother's and Father's Day events to let them know they're loved and not forgotten. Donations are tax deductible and go directly where they're needed.
Read Mark's last letter home.
And just as he inspired his mom, let Mark inspire you to some random acts of kindness of your own.
At AmericasMightyWarriors.org.
Hi, this is Frank Gaffney. My day job is running the Center for Security Policy, which each weeknight brings you this program. But Secure Freedom Radio is just one of the important contributions the Center makes to the common defense. We call our team the Special Forces in the War of Ideas. Like the real Special Forces, we strive to be agile, creative, and highly effective in identifying threats to our country and how they might best be countered. We can't do all this without you, though. Also, like the real Special Forces, ours need ammunition. And in the war of ideas, ammo is money. The Center is a nonprofit, tax-exempt organization. Contributions to its work are tax-deductible and an important investment in your security and freedom. Find out more about the Center for Security Policy and how you can help keep its Special Forces team in the fight by visiting securefreedom.org. Many thanks.
I'm Robert Muse, co-founder and senior counsel of the American Freedom Law Center, our nation's premier public interest law firm fighting for your faith and freedom in courtrooms across America. Make no mistake, we live in a pivotal time. Secular progressives such as Barack Obama and his surrogates are zealously sweeping religion from the public square, foisting Sharia law and other harmful international precedents into our courts and constitution, assaulting the traditional family, and weakening our national defense by, among other things, undermining the strength of our military through social engineering and political correctness. But I can assure you that the American Freedom Law Center is aggressively engaging our nation's enemies with offensive lawfare to defend our fundamental rights and to fight stealth jihad in all of its forms, including the civilization jihad being waged by Muslim Brotherhood front groups operating here in the U.S. Indeed, there is no other public interest law firm as uniquely qualified to fight this battle. But we need your prayers and financial support to succeed. Please consider a tax-deductible donation to support our critical fight for your faith and freedom. Visit us at www.AmericanFreedomLawCenter.org.
If you don't know where Bill Bennett stands, here are some of his beliefs.
I believe Americans should largely do much more for themselves than many Americans are doing.
But do I rule out government as something that might be able to assist in that? And that I do not.
I do think families, churches, and schools are better places for that to happen. People should do for themselves what they can. Government should do what people cannot do for themselves.
Get to know Bill Bennett, weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on 1260 WRC. New Choice, Intelligent Talk.
Listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We're having a very important and I think very interesting conversation with a man I've regarded as a personal friend and hero for a long time. He's Dr. Jack London. He is currently the executive chairman of CACI International, one of the nation's preeminent defense contractors. He is also the author of a splendid new book, and we're visiting with him for this full hour about it. It's entitled Character, the Ultimate Success Factor. And Jack, before the break, we were talking a little bit about what's happened to our society. And I go back to something you said at the very beginning, and that is personal responsibility, personal accountability are seemingly, you know, at the very core of what you have, you know, developed in the course of your personal experience in life and professional career, and is at the core of this book of yours, Character. Talk a little bit about what you see in our society at the moment, namely perhaps an educational system that seems to be less and less instilling these kinds of qualities, a political environment in which they are less and less in evidence among our leaders. And to what extent does this really imperil, perhaps, the republic that is supposed to be built on such qualities?
Well, it's of significant concern, quite clearly. And I think perhaps that you may have put your finger on it in the sense of the institutions, the academia, even the elementary schools. The emphasis perhaps is not as sharply focused in these areas as it has been in the past. The thing that I see, more importantly, I guess, to reflect it, is what happens in our society. If you go back to just in this last decade, Enron, WorldCom, Bernie Madoff, all the issues that are happening out there in terms of the commercial side, the difficulties and problems, and if you think about what's happening in our government recently, the WikiLeaks issue, for example, the Edward Snowden and the NSA data, all of these areas, all of these indicate a weakness of character.
Weakness of character, indeed. We're visiting with Dr. Jack London. He is, as I'm very proud of, a member of the board of directors of the Center for Security Policy. He's executive chairman of CACI International. And Jack, you were just talking a little bit about how a series of scandals, both in the public sector and in the private sector, have been evidence of a lack of character. And again, if you would, just perhaps introduce kind of what I kind of took away as the essence of your book, the four intangibles of leadership that would keep such crises of character from happening, perhaps, or at least mitigate their implications. Could you talk a little bit about those four and why you've come to realize their importance?
Frank, they're at the heart of it, at least from my perspective and my observation running a public corporation for 30, 40 years. The four ideas that I have or intangibles that I talk to are integrity, courage and conviction, commitment, and vision. And I lead off with integrity because there's simply no there's no substitute for it. Individuals behave in a fashion that is ethical and with good character, or they don't. And it's been a main issue at CACI for many years. In fact, I've been working on this whole idea, Frank, of character, value, for many years. And there's a very important reason, and that is to run a services business that's dealing with the software and with services and specialized and security work like we do in the defense organizations. Integrity is fundamental to our success. And we have a fine track record over the years of being very successful in our projects and contracts, and I attribute a lot of that to the notion of our organizational leadership focused on doing it, doing things right. I talked to
it is kind of infectious, isn't it, Jack? Don't you find that when that's your standard and you insist upon it, it really does come to characterize your chain of command and workforce?
You almost get branded, which is wonderful. We have a motto. Our motto at CACI is ever vigilant, and that's not an accident. We thought a lot about that many years ago in terms of how we would create our motto, our tagline, if you will. And I'm very proud that that tagline has really endured as our brand. It conveys the notion of being ever-vigilant on our work for the welfare of our clients, for the fiduciary duty associated with our shareholders, for the significant amounts of money, taxpayer money, that is awarded to us on contract to fulfill our best capability and live up to what the government of taxpayers expect of us. So it all rolls together.
Talk a little bit these other elements, though. I want to cover them quickly, too. The importance of courage and conviction coupled with integrity, how does that fit into your model?
You have to believe in what you're doing. and that's the conviction is the notion of we're going to stay the course and commit to doing the those things that we know are right. That it's more than obeying the law. It also has to do with intentions. Courage is the standing up in the face of difficulties. The courage to come forward when we have project difficulties, for example, and get them fixed. We want to be known in our customer and customer community as an organization that if we do have problems, we will promptly fix them. We're not a sweep it under the rug kind of operation. By the way, you've seen some significant contract problems here in the Washington scene recently, and not the least of which was the Affordable Care Act database issue, was just an example. And there probably are a number of reasons that difficulty, and I'm not here to judge one way or the other, but clearly there were problems. The whole idea of the courage to push back on issues where we believe that we've been inappropriately accused of things. For example, I have the unfortunate experience in the Abu Ghraib situation.
Yeah. Hold that thought, if you would, Jack. Let's just finish in this segment, if we can, the other two principles that that you think really are integral to leadership, intangible though they may be. Talk about commitment as well.
I have long believed that the idea of being able to sustain what you set out to do, it revolves around the notion of also of perseverance, if you will, determination. Those kinds of attributes, I think, are drivers for success. They have to be elements of leadership. When I talk about success, I'm talking about accomplishing things that are appropriate and proper. I believe that you really don't get there without the kind of commitment that will convey your beliefs in your leadership perspective, and that your employees or your organization understand where the boss is headed.
Critical, important, and central to that, in turn, is this last of these four intangibles: vision. How does that play into the others, and how does it articulate itself?
This is what separates the men from the boys, if I can use that that gender analogy. It's really the ability to communicate to your organization its future. And I'm talking about its business platform, I'm talking about its technologies, I'm talking about its market space, I'm talking about its reputation. The vision, a vision to be able to describe your future and pretty much in a soundbite, Frank, if you will, where you're headed. The ability to do that convincingly and to convey that, I think, is really a hallmark of true leader developers, in particular the entrepreneurial aspect that we need in our type of business.
Yeah. If done properly, exude character as well. Integrity, courage and conviction, commitment and vision, all qualities that I'm very proud to say our guest Jack London exhibits and has practiced throughout his life. We'll be talking more about how you've applied it, these qualities, Jack, in cases notably involving, among others, the Abu Ghraib affair, in the next segment right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Hugh Hewitt keeps the Constitution first.
That's what the left is about right now. Not about this or that.
Regulation or restriction.
Not about keeping weapons out of the hands of the mentally disabled. It's about attacking the Constitution. And by the way, you cannot mess with the Second Amendment without messing with the First and the Fourth and the Fifth and the Tenth. You either respect the Constitution or you don't.
The Hugh Hewitt Show. Weeknights at 6 after Michael Medved at 3 on 1260 WRC. New Choice. intelligent talk.
On August 2nd, 2006, Mark Allen Lee became the first Navy SEAL to lose his life in Iraq.
Debbie Lee became a Gold Star mom that day.
And it started a lifelong mission of her own. In Mark's honor, Debbie founded America's Mighty Warriors,
dedicated to supporting the troops and their families.
AMW educates the public through speaking engagements, rallies, and events to raise awareness and appreciation of our military.
AMW advocates for the troops.
Funding, rules of engagement, benefits. AMW is committed to being a voice for justice for our troops. AMW serves Gold Star families. Retreats, concerts, special events.
Good things to remind the families they're not forgotten.
America's Mighty Warriors.
Nonprofit.
Dedicated to the troops and their families.
Donations are tax deductible.
Log on to americasmightywarriors.org.
Find out how you can help.
The best of America deserves our best. Log on today.
americasmightywarriors.org.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. A violent crackdown in the Ukraine by Russia's kleptocratic ruler Vladimir Putin and his Ukrainian puppet Viktor Yanukovych is, as old communists like them say, no accident, comrade. For one thing, Russia is currently staging the Sochi Olympics, so the world's nations are especially reluctant at this juncture to strain relations with the host country. For its part, the Obama administration continues to delude itself that the Kremlin will actually help us with its Iranian and Syrian clients if the U.S. overlooks bad Russian behavior. America needs to stand squarely with Ukrainians putting their lives on the line to secure for their long-suffering country a place in the free world. That means denouncing and penalizing violent repression by their government and its enabling by Russia. That is, of course, no accident, comrade. This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Learn more at securefreedom.org.
The Devil We Don't Know by Noni Darwish uncovers the dark side of revolution in the Middle East and the reason why Muslim countries are unable to dig themselves out of a cycle of revolution, political unrest, and tyranny. The constitutions of many Muslim countries state that Sharia law supersedes all other law, and that is why it has failed in providing a legal and political system where healthy democracy can flourish. In this dynamic, only tyrannical governments can survive. In The Devil We Don't Know, human rights activist and Center for Security Policy fellow Noni Darwish answers the tough questions. Why the Arab Spring won't usher in freedom and democracy or a feminist movement. And how Israel will be threatened by the new wave of Islamism after the so-called Arab Spring. The Devil We Don't Know by Noni Darwish. It's available at Amazon.com.
An inspector general serves as an independent watchdog in each federal agency, promoting integrity and efficiency while rooting out fraud, waste, and abuse of authority in our government. Several important U.S. agencies have not had an IG for years, including the State Department, which has been without an IG for 5 years. During a constant wave of scandals in Washington, D.C., the newly published IG handbook couldn't be more timely. Every IG takes an oath to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. By exposing fraud, waste, or abuse through audits, IGs satisfy the constitutional mandate that a regular statement and account of the receipts and expenditures of all public money shall be published from time to time. The new IG handbook explains by what authority and for what purpose an inspector general does what he or she does on behalf of we, the people. Find the Inspector General Handbook by yours truly, Joseph E. Schmitz, on Amazon.com.
Hi, this is Frank Affney. You're listening to Intelligent Talk on WRC 1260 in Washington, D.C.
Now more with Frank Affney.
Welcome back. We are continuing our special hour-long conversation with a distinguished leader, a real captain of industry, one of the most, I think, highly respected entrepreneurs in Washington. He is Dr. Jack London. He is the author of a wonderful book that is kind of the framework for this conversation, Character, the Ultimate Success Factor. It has a foreword by another captain of industry, Norm Augustine, and it is very important, I think, grist for all of our mills in terms of understanding both how to conduct our own personal lives, but also how to ensure that our country is exuding these qualities of character and integrity, courage and conviction, commitment and vision that Jack says is really central to leadership. Jack, you mentioned in the last block Abu Ghraib. It was a dark moment for CACI International, it became the subject of another of your books, Our Good Name, A Company's Fight to Defend Its Honor and Get the Truth Told About Abu Ghraib. Talk about what happened in this episode. It's now probably receding into distant memory for many of us, but remind us what went on and where the truth did lie in it, what you did to clear your company's good name.
Absolutely. This was in the fall of 2003, and there was a significant number of soldier abuses and dealings with the prisoners at Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq, not far outside of Baghdad. And all the incidents were disclosed in a report, an Article 15.6 report by the United States Army, authored by Major General Antonio Taguba. In his report, it was mentioned one of our employees as having something to do with all this. What happened was a firestorm of reaction through the media, through the 60 Minutes program that released some of the pictures. There was a New Yorker magazine article that came out and essentially inferred without any direct evidence that CACI personnel had something to do with all this. It turned out that the bottom line on it was that there was no role that CACI played in those difficult situations. We had the task of doing interrogator support and data collection and data organization and the IT side of the intelligence gathering activity. And we had done that kind of work in other places as well. So the point was that we were accused of misgivings and some infractions and so on that turned out not to be true. And what we had to do, frankly, was to stand up and withstand the hurricane of the lynch mob, if you will, and the kangaroo courts that were going to hang anybody that had anything to do with it. We pushed back. We were very effective in communicating our views and positions. If we made very clear that if we had anything that had gone wrong there, that we would stand for it and make corrections or do whatever was necessary to make amends for it. But the bottom line is that CACI was not involved, and I had not believed it was, and we investigated very carefully inside the company to make sure we knew what had happened. And I was very confident that we could stand up and push back and resist this, and I was supported by my board of directors as doing the right thing to protect the company, protect the employees that were being falsely accused, and to convey to the community that we would do the right thing in any case. So it was quite an episode, to say the least.
It really was, and it reminds you of those that old adage about a lie will be halfway around the world before the truth gets its pants on, or something to that effect. It's one of those things that's very hard to catch up with a lie, and especially one like this, in which, of course, there were these photographs that were taken by some of these soldiers, and all that was imputed to your personnel wrongly. But again, Jack, in terms of leadership in this kind of environment, and in terms of how the experience honed your own leadership, is there an essential takeaway from that experience? Is it the crisis management is something that I guess they teach in business school now pretty early on, but what would you say would be the most important single thing for the American people and those of us who admire CACI International, among others, to take away from this experience?
Well, there is a point, and it was, I had an epiphany, Frank, in this. It began to dawn on me as I was being assaulted and accused of every heinous crime you could think of on the extreme blogs and so on. My epiphany was that there was no course of action except to do the right thing. Why would I risk the future of my company? Why would I risk the reputation of our employees being accused wrongly? Why would I risk the good services and work and reputation of the United States Army and our work for them? Why would I risk my own personal reputation by doing anything than standing up and forcefully representing our case and what had happened? So it became a kind of a light went on for me that the course of action of doing the right thing was so obvious to me as being the right thing to do, and I think that is something that has been a real serious flaw in the weakness in the character of a lot of the examples that we talked about earlier, the Enron kind of thing and the the Navy nuclear power test cheating thing, cheating at academies and so forth. Some of these things that you are reading about are really weaknesses of character, people that cannot find the integrity to stand up, the commitment, courage to stand up and do the right thing.
Well, and that's, I guess, the point is, in the first instance, that lack has perhaps given rise to a climate in which this is taking place. You mentioned early on, Jack London, that you, of course, are concerned about the condition of the United States military, and I want to talk a bit more about that in the next block. But just staying with this theme, we are seeing, as you said, much publicized instances of sexual harassment on the one hand, and cheating scandals of various kinds, and disciplinary problems, including in some of our nuclear forces. Sorry to say, even the Navy itself is now beginning to manifest some of this. The Secretary of Defense, Chuck Hagel, has recently announced the creation of a new position of an ethics officer for the Defense Department. To what extent do you think that is a good idea, is likely to make a difference, or is the problem really bigger by far in terms of the condition of the military itself, which is manifesting itself in these ways?
I endorse and support what the Secretary has done here. I think it's a symbol of intent. I'd also have to say I feel very sad that it has to be done. Rue the day that we've had to take those kinds of steps. On the other hand, speaking about the issue of integrity and character and ethics within the military services, with some examples you just mentioned, I see the problem as a broader gauged issue. I think that it has to do a lot with what's happening in our society and culture. The United States Armed Forces, in many ways, are a microcosm or a representation of the American public. They have standards for bringing people into service and so forth and criteria. But on the other hand, they are all American people, American citizens that are coming into the services. So if we're having no more difficulties in the militaries, then that's a reflection on our society, which brings me to the point that I think the corrective action associated with these challenges will have to be of a long-term, sustained kind of a program, and it's got to be a bottoms-up and top-down. It has to be something that is leadership by example from role models, right from the very top of the organization, military defense establishment. It has to be something that's implemented through boot camp, if you will, or the training facilities, indoctrination when young men and women come into the service. Have to be brought on board as understanding what the ethos and the standards and the expectations of the military service are. In that regard, that has to be a big piece of the indoctrination, and I'm sure that that there's efforts in that direction now. They're probably going to have to be reinforced.
We're going to have to reinforce it, and I would argue, Jack London, I'm sure you feel the same way, that this also has to be replicated and engaged in on the civilian side of this chain of command as well, starting with the commander-in-chief. Well, we'll be visiting a bit more about that in our last block of this conversation with Dr. Jack London, the chairman, executive chairman of CACI International, and his book, Character, The Ultimate Success Factor. Right after this.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
There's a reason Bill Bennett doesn't go after people that disagree with him.
I don't think you persuade people when you yell at them,
when you make fun of them,
when you wave your finger and scold them. I don't think you turn anybody around. And I think the reason that you try to adopt the Socratic maxims of
candor, intelligence, and goodwill
is because people can change their minds.
They're not going to change their minds if you call them idiots.
I just don't think so.
Bill Bennett's Morning in America. Weekday mornings from 6 to 9 on 1260 WRC. New choice. Intelligent talk.
This is Frank Gaffney.
Something is seriously wrong when the FBI interviews a jihadist like Tamerlan Tsarnaev, the older of the two Chechens believed to have perpetrated the bombing of the Boston Marathon, and sees no evil. Yet, that is the predictable result of the shackling of the Bureau that has taken place in recent years. For example, in 2011, the Obama administration actually purged FBI training materials of information that warns of the connection between the Tsarnaev's kind of religious fervor and terrifying acts of jihad. And Team Obama has also effectively told the Bureau it must get the approval of Muslim Brotherhood operatives before it can do any such training in the future. This is a formula for much more jihad in America. It's time to free the FBI so that they can do their job and protect our country. If you agree, go to www.freethefbi.com. That's www.freethefbi.com. Hey, this is Frank Gaffney. My day job is running the Center for Security Policy, which each weeknight brings you this program. But Secure Freedom Radio is just one of the important contributions the Center makes to the common defense. We call our team the Special Forces in the War of Ideas. Like the real Special Forces, we strive to be agile, creative, and highly effective in identifying threats to our country and how they might best be countered. We can't do all this without you, though. Also, like the real Special Forces, ours need ammunition. And in the War of Ideas, ammo is money. The Center is a nonprofit, tax-exempt organization. Contributions to its work are tax-deductible and an important investment in your security and freedom. Find out more about the Center for Security Policy and how you can help keep its Special Forces team in the fight by visiting securefreedom.org. Many thanks.
This is Jenny Thomas. I do video interviews of leaders with the Daily Caller. I had the privilege recently of interviewing Diana West about her extraordinary new book, American Betrayal, The Secret Assault on Our Nation's Character. You can see it at dailycaller.com. American Betrayal reads like a spellbinding historical thriller, but it is also a carefully documented account of how the U.S. government was penetrated by communist agents in the years after President Roosevelt normalized relations with the Soviet Union. Diana West shows how a similar assault is being mounted today by yet another collectivist ideology, the supremacist Islamic doctrine of Sharia. She establishes that while the communists and the Islamists may have very different visions of the world, they have employed the same techniques to defeat America. Please watch my conversation with Diana West about American Betrayal, then check out the other great leaders we profile at dailycaller.com.
Hugh Hewitt keeps the Constitution first.
That's what the left is about right now. Not about this or that.
Regulation or restriction.
Not about keeping weapons out of the hands of the mentally disabled. It's about attacking the Constitution. And by the way, you cannot mess with the Second Amendment without messing with the First and the Fourth and the Fifth and the Tenth. You either respect the Constitution or you don't.
The Hugh Hewitt Show. Weeknights at 6 after Michael Medved at 3 on 1260 WRC. New Choice. Intelligent Talk.
Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back, and once again, we have the privilege of spending this hour with Dr. J. Philip London, better known as Jack London, a man who has been at the forefront of America's defense industrial capabilities for decades in his leadership position at CACI International. He is a former naval aviator, a man who has served with great distinction both in the public and private sector, and I'm very pleased to say he has been associated with our organization, the Center for Security Policy, for several years now, and we're very grateful to you for all of this service, Jack London. Let me just talk now, Jack, having set the stage, I think, beautifully for an understanding of the challenges that we're facing in terms of contending with national security threats and other sorts of difficulties. Let me ask you to give some thought, or share with us your thoughts, I should say, about the nature of the world we're in and why
such character, such leadership, such integrity, vision, and so on is of absolutely surpassing importance. You have, as I say, been in the military. You have been enormously enabling of its capabilities over years in the private sector. Talk a bit about the threats as you see them today and why it makes these sorts of enhancements in our capabilities so imperative.
Frank, the threat spectrum is probably as broad as I've seen in my career. We've gone from an era where we had a focus on the Cold War, Soviet Union, which was a fairly narrowly focused challenge compared to today. Today we have the full spectrum of nuclear weapon proliferation issues. We have economic challenges coming out of Asia and China. We have all that's going on in the Middle East still with the Al-Qaeda, the Islamist movement. The whole range of issues is so much broader. I mean, the list of challenges, the Palestine issue, the Iranian problem with the nuclear weapons proliferation potential, what's happening in Syria, Russia's role, the China, the movement in that part of the world as well, all of the Middle East, what they call Middle East and North Africa, all of these areas create a broad array of challenges that are best served by a United States foreign policy, a political stature and reputation, image in the military establishment, known for readiness and capability to respond effectively. When we have problems of character and these breakdowns, if you will, the Edward Snowden NSA issue, the cheating and scandals in our missiles and nuclear testing, those kinds of things today, because of the internet, are known around the world. There's no such thing as sort of having our family problems in the kitchen and taking care of them. They're now public worldwide. And I think this presents a different kind of a challenge for our leadership, executive leadership, the congressional leadership, and being able to come together and bring the solutions, bring image and reputation and singular purpose to the country and as we go forward. And so these issues surrounding character, standing up, the ethics, the integrity, Frank, they are major issues, and they're essential. They're at the core of our national being.
Jack London, let me ask you a kind of related question, and I know this is a highly subjective judgment, but nonetheless, you've had a lot of time to think and practice it. To what extent is national security mindedness now more absent from the national leadership and consciousness, really, that it has been in the course of your long and distinguished career? Does that concern you, both among elected officials and, for that matter, the public at large? But is that at work here in creating kind of greater vulnerabilities to some of the threats that you've just described?
It's a broad-gauged issue. I think part of it, Frank, has to do with the long involved wartime situation of this nation in Iraq and Afghanistan. I think those things have worn up. In some ways, the American will has been pushed to the limits, and warfare and battlefield activity has a lot to do with national will, the will of people to prevail. Again, that comes back to leadership issues and determination on what the role and mission, if you will, or reputation of this country is going to be going forward. I would say that one of the things that is really a challenge now is the economic thing. Admiral Mullen, Mike Mullen, a while back said that the one of the greatest dangers and threats to national security was the our economic situation. And the ability, therefore, to be able to budget for and provide for the right types of material equipment, readiness, force levels, and so on. And I think Mike Mullen was correct on that. So all these things have to woven together in what I call the bottom line leadership issue, national leadership.
We're almost out of time with you, Jack London. This hour has flown by. But before we let you go, I do want to ask you, especially given your long and intimate experience with the defense community, to talk a little bit about the condition, in addition to what you've already said about leadership and the quality of the military that we need to have in a dangerous world. Talk a little bit about the industrial base that supports that military. Do you fear, as I know many have, that the effects of sequestration, which was one effort to respond in a fashion to the economic challenges that you've just alluded to, is really having a devastating effect on our ability to support our men and women in uniform, not just in today's long war, but those that may loom in the future?
There's no question about it. The military-industrial base that supports the programs of our national military and security structure, which includes intelligence community and information gathering and all the rest of it, Frank. When you begin to throttle things back, we have to make dramatic decisions in terms of cuts and program emasculation and all the rest is going to have an effect. And it is, I think, having effect. It's probably measurable now, but certainly will be in terms of readiness perspectives and opportunities going forward. The name of the game for American security is to stay ahead on a technology and a readiness basis and to be able to do so in a fashion that can leverage our capabilities. So we're not going to be able to confront some of the powers of this globe right now in terms of raw manpower. We have to have a technology advantage, strategic advantage, being able to apply our resources and capabilities in an effective way, preserve world peace in particular, should be a part of our objective. And we're going to see an erosion in that. And it's to be determined yet on how far that will go. Depends on the actions of the Congress and the budget authorities going forward, Frank.
It does indeed. And in part, again, this goes back to what you've said throughout this hour and what you've written about in your splendid books, Character, The Ultimate Success Factor, and what you've exemplified really in your life, Jack London, both in the United States Navy and in the years since, notably at CACI International. And that is the vision, the integrity, the commitment, and the conviction that with courage thrown into the mix is absolutely essential for us to maintain the kind of security stance in a very dangerous world that this country has had in the past, and I'm quite confident it's going to need in the future. If we have it in the future, it will be in no small measure thanks to you, and my thanks especially to you for spending this hour today talking with us about it. Dr. Jack London, keep up the great work at CACI International, and your help to us at the Center for Security Policy is deeply appreciated as well. God bless you, sir. We will talk with you again soon. We'll talk with the rest of you again tomorrow, same time, same station. Till then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.